Hello and welcome back to Cape Verde. This is part two from Cape Verde. And if you haven't heard part one, go and listen to that first, or this probably won't make much sense. You can find part one in the same place that you found this, part two, I think. If you found this in a small plastic boat powered by baking soda halfway across a bath, then no, you can't find part one here. If you want to find part one of Cape Verde and lots of other travel podcasts, there's all of those available on my website, vinniewhite.co.uk. And that's Vinny with an E, white.co.uk. Right, let's get down to business. In part one, I was in Cape Verde. I am still here. I can't make it to all of the islands, but the two that I have visited, there is one that is just spectacular, and it's the obvious choice to hang out on, and that is the most westerly island of Cape Verde. It's called Santantão, or if you're looking at a map, it looks like it's called Santo Antão. That is the most amazing place. Cape Verde is a bunch of islands somewhere in the Atlantic, not that far off the coast of Africa. I say that, of course, it is an African country. There's a lot to take in here. It's an African country, it's 10 islands, it's just over 500,000 people, and it's not really attached to Africa, but, you know, nor is Madagascar, and that's Africa, so whatever. I think I'm complicating this introduction quite a lot. Let's get down to business. This is part two, the final part, from here in beautiful Cape Verde.
Tava influída, tá danção cha cha cha, tá danção tinguiça, tenha corpim bem pagar. Tava influída, tá danção cha cha cha, tá danção tinguiça, tenha corpim bem pagar.
Saturday night in a village north of Paul, in the Paul Valley. I am wandering up the stone streets in the dark to see if I can find a bar and maybe we can go for a little cheeky glass of punch. Let's see what I can find. To the left of me, sugar plantations. What's up?
Hello.
And some dude. And to the right of me, there's a few buildings and one of them is a bar, I think. Yes, brilliant. So this by day, I've never been here, but by day, there's a racist dog that lives here. Because every time I walk past, he barks only at me because I'm white. And I'm going to go in there. And tonight's mission is a glass of punch, which is a local drink, and try to tame the racist dog. Let's see if it works. Walking up some stone stairs. The bar obviously is all open, everything's open, always. Just tin, simple roof. Oh no, banana leaf roof. On a shack. Let's have a look. What's that?
Huh?
Amigo.
Hello, my friend.
How you doing?
It's good.
It's good. Do you have any punch?
Punch.
Punch.
Yes.
Punch, por favor.
Mel,
punch. Oh.
Punch.
Have you got lemon punch?
Lemon? No.
No. Is that punch?
Punch melon.
Okay, yeah, melon, yeah.
Punch is made from sugarcane and is basically grog, the local rum, but slightly different because they've added a bit of fruit and a bit of sugar to it. So it packs a punch.
Amazing. Oh, that's good. Woo! Fuerte, huh?
The fork.
Jesus.
Woo!
All right, I've got a punch. Oh, there's just one massive speaker in here, but... Anyway, it kicks like a mule. I'll report later when there's not quite so much noise.
Okay, so I've had a rum punch. Now I'm going back outside. I couldn't find the racist dog. I did dance with a either very happy or very inebriated woman, or both. And now I've come back out into the street and someone set up a gambling table.
Oh. 31 boy.
This looks complicated.
Yeah. 31.
Okay, how does it work?
31. 31, yeah.
31. Criol, criol. 31. 31. The Creole, okay. The 31. Spanish
31. Yeah, yeah, 31.
Okay.
The Spanish 31.
So, I had a go.
Okay, I've got a couple of coins.
You understand, mate?
I understand. So, you got money now?
Do you want play?
What could possibly go wrong? Here we go.
No. 27.
You win.
I have 29.
Very good.
Okay.
You win.
27.
Yeah, no, you win. Yeah, no, I like it. It's
29,
good.
27, okay?
Yeah, you win.
You like?
I like it. Yeah. Okay, it's good.
You know the 31, no?
I now know, you know? Yeah. Normally, you know? In Europa, it's 21.
21, yeah.
North America, 21. Yeah. But here it's 31.
Yeah. What is the difference? Okay.
It's quite literally 10. He's done it again. It's good.
Yeah. I'm the best.
He was the best. I lost 160 esquidos. Esquidos. I still don't know how to pronounce that. But either way, it's about €1.60. Oh, outrageous. The next day, to clear my hangover, I went on a nice 3-hour hike up a mountain. And at the very top, there's a tiny village built along the ridge of the mountain. There's just kind of a few houses for those people that look after the local plantations. Before I explored the tiny village, precariously perched on a mountain, I sat next to a radio antenna at the very top and tried to describe it. I later realised it's probably best described as the early scenes of Avatar, you know, where everything's beautiful and otherworldly. Here, I do struggle to explain what it's like looking down on 1,500 metres of green valleys below. I'm at the top of a mountain. And it's completely and utterly still. I can see down into the valley and out to sea. And the other way I can see down into the other valley. So just a whole bunch of sugarcane and banana plantations dotted with little houses perched almost impossibly on stage-stepped valleys with a river running through the bottom of fresh water. Diverted occasionally to those stepped valleys to make sure that the banana plantations achieve water. Yes, I feel good about this part. I've been trying to find ways of describing it, and it's really annoying because it's quite difficult. But I think Fontanas and actually the place I currently am can both be described as comedically beautiful. It's almost out of your realms of mind. Like, I've never been anywhere like this. It really is one of the most special places I've ever been in my life. You must come to Cape Verde and don't do what everyone else does and go to the island of Sal, unless you're really into luxury, in which case fill your boots. You'll have a great time. Thanks for contributing to the local economy. But no one comes to this island, certainly in COVID, so I'm the only bugger here. And as a result, I feel very, very blessed and fortunate to be up here on top of a mountain in a town called, let me just pull out my maps.me. Maps.me, by the way, is brilliant because you can be offline and find out exactly where you are. I am in, I'm in Antenna. No, I think that's the name of the antenna that's next to me. The name of the town is, oh God, Cabeca de Figueral. Oh, I've just messed that right up, haven't I? Let's have one more crack at that. Cabeca de Figueral. Yesterday I stayed in a town called Paul, P-A-U-L. Not the first Christian-named town I've stayed in, actually. I've stayed in Paul
And I once stayed in Panama, I think. There's a town called David. So I've been in Paul and I've been in David. I think that's about as close as I've come to homosexuality. And having left Paul yesterday, I went up the Paul Valley and ended up here. And it is a spectacular place. So there's a couple of words to hope to cover Fontanus and this Paul Valley. Spectacular, comedic, impossible, lush, friendly and tranquil. But every time you get used to it and you're like, oh, this is tranquil, I'm very relaxed, you have a massive rush of vertigo, particularly where I'm currently sitting. And then question your footing, apart from anything else, and then question how beautiful the world around us can be. It's a hiker's paradise. I'm not really a massive exercise guy. I mean, I have become a bit more like that since lockdown, but I'm not a hiker. But the great thing about hiking in a place like this is, not only do you get the spectacular landscapes as previously described, but every now and then you walk through one of these impossible little villages where there's really simple shops that, I wasn't around during the war, but I imagine that's what British shops looked like in the war. Dried biscuits, flour, some bread, some real basics. Enough to make a very simple sandwich. And of course, Portuguese boxed wine. And at €3 a box.
For 1 litre in a box.
And it's really not that bad. I have to say, we're not that far away from paradise right here. So I'm glad you could join me. So the hiking is great because you wind through those villages. But let me give you a few Cape Verde facts outside of the realm of this, because I've been here for quite a long time now and I'd love to tell you some things I've discovered. So one thing that doesn't score very highly is the restaurants.
I was being a bit too polite when I recorded that, and it's before I had food poisoning more than once from eating in the restaurants here. So let me explain that again. The restaurants on the two islands of Cape Verde that I visited are mostly absolutely awful. And to elaborate on that, just to explain what's wrong, fish and chicken are prepared from frozen, not fresh, which, you know, I do know where I am. I don't expect a cordon bleu service, but I was disappointed that a place that's surrounded by water nearly always sells frozen fish in their restaurants. And then there's the veg. So about 70% of the vegetables that you might find in Europe, you know, asparagus, courgette, or even sprouts, are not available on these islands. I mean, I never thought I'd miss sprouts. And the vegetables that you do get here are boiled so much, you would think that they might kill you if they weren't boiled. And there's a good reason for that. One of them would, possibly, yeah. So one of the vegetables that they're very obsessed with here, and it's quite widely eaten across the world. In fact, if you want to know, 700 million people eat this vegetable. It's called cassava. And cassava is cyanide. I'm not making this up. Is a cyanide-laced vegetable. Cassava is a cyanide-laced vegetable eaten around the world by about 700 million people. And they eat it here in Cape Verde. And I'm not kidding, it's cyanide-laced. Unless you boil it for ages and ages, in which case all the cyanide dissipates somehow. I'm not entirely sure how, but either way, it's safe to eat if you boil the life out of it. Now, if obviously you put any other vegetables that are grown here in the same pot and boil the life out of them, you're going to get a pretty bland, mushy, beige, stodgy slap of dodgy vegetables on the side of your plate. So what I'm talking about here, a typical dish, is if you ask for fish, it will take an hour to cook because it will be from frozen. When it gets wound up on your plate, it will be served with rice, potato and boiled cassava, which are the stodgiest of stodgy. Nothing that was green will remain green, and you will finish the meal thinking, why was that so boring? So hopefully, I know I do sound like I'm being a whinge bag, but just so you understand, the food here is crap.
Much of the economy here in this country, and a great deal of Africa, is black. A lot of people live off the land and barter their goods. More of that in a minute. But because no one eats in a restaurant, apart from white people, and there really aren't many of those around right now, It's pretty sparse. The food, as I say, is not great. And one of the things that's really amazed me is why it's so bloody hard to get vegetables. All I am surrounded by is these lush green valleys with amazing irrigation channels that have been hand dug for hundreds of years. Let's not push it. But no veg. And so I've been asking around and I've been trying to work it out. Why is it that these lovely little shops have just got ginger biscuits and all the basics, usually a couple of tomatoes, but nothing more than tomatoes or onions when you could grow anything you wanted here, surely? What's going on? And the answer is, if you own land, then you could grow tomatoes and you could grow peppers and you could grow all kinds of different veg. But when that's ready to harvest, you've got to harvest it. And it might be difficult to shift it all in one go. Whereas you can grow sugarcane all year and you can cut that sugarcane down and make grog, rum, essentially, whenever you want. And with bottles of rum come bartering. Because really, bottles of rum, certainly in this part of Cape Verde, in this sparse island, are in fact currency. And there's a set price for it. I'm not sure what a bottle of rum is, actually. I'll have to look that one up. But yeah, if you want a bottle of grog, i.e. dodgy rum that's been made from the sugar plantations locally, then that will set you back, I'm going to guess, I don't know, probably about €3 or €4. I'll look it up. But that's very much a hard currency. And so we have it. We've got banana plantations, and when it's right to harvest, when it's not winter, although I struggle to call it winter right now, I'm sat at the top of the mountain in the sunshine with a t-shirt and shorts on, but apparently this is winter. When it's not winter, that's what goes on. They harvest those banana plantations and trade grog all year. And that's why it's difficult to get vegetables, because not much point growing it when you could grow sugarcane and be a bit better off for it. You might grow soybeans, you might grow a lot of those, and you'll harvest them yourself, keep them in bags, and that's what you'll do when you want to make the local dish, which is called cachupa. Cachupa is basically a sort of bean stew made from various different beans, including soybeans. And if you're feeling a bit plush, you might chuck a bit of fatty sausage in there, a bit like chorizo or chorizo. Is it chorizo? Chorizo?
Sausage.
So yeah, if you fancy some of that, cachupa is going to set you back about €1 a plate and is available in some of those restaurants. And it's really, really filling, as it would be. You know, if you're going to farm the land, you're going to need a filling dish. Quite a lot of potatoes, but loads of beans. So let's just say I've woken myself up a couple of times in the middle of the night with a little cheeky surprise. Okay, do we need to go into that? I don't think we do. I just like being honest. Believe me, I am far from perfect. Another reason that no one eats in the restaurants, not only is it sort of this black economy of swapping grog for food and the few vegetables that they do eat, but also these people just don't have a lot of money. So the average income for Cape Verde is €200 a month. €200 a month.
I was about to elaborate on that, but a woman called Sandra popped up from the town at this point to let me know that she owns a restaurant. Okay, so the town's, I don't know, it's like 2 minute walk away, sort of down. It's just a bunch of little houses and this one restaurant. Sandra came up to get me and then took me to her restaurant, which is called Sandra's. And it was serving cold beer. It was only 2 minutes away. So I got so excited, I followed Sandra, and I slipped and very nearly fell off a mountain.
I'll go to the restaurante. Obrigado. Whoa. Hey, it's difficile, huh?
Yeah, difficile.
It's problemas con personas falling. Si? Yeah. Bloody hell. Through the banana plantations. Round a stone hut. Down some stone stairs. Looking out over the valley. And they've only built a bloody bar. Oh, fantastic. Okay, Sandra here. The bar Sandra. Okay, this is exactly what I mean. This is what I mean. I think that's Sandra who was just sitting on top of the mountain. This is what I mean about comedic. It's absolutely ridiculous. Why is Sandra sitting on top of a mountain? And then I go down 20 metres to a village and she only owns the bar called Chez Sandra.
I guess in fairness, if she saw a white guy climbing up the hill, she's probably been looking at me for 2 hours, thinking, when is this guy going to get to the top? And I bet when he does, he wants a beer. But yeah, she got me right. Buenas vistas. Yeah. Oh, bloody hell, that is good. Oh! Okay, this is... See what I mean? I got a beer, I got a bottle of water, and she said, oh yeah, and by the way, we've got some ground coffee from the local area. I don't know where. I guess I passed a coffee plantation on the way. So I've just bought a bag of coffee. Oh my God, I'm so happy. So the beer is Strella. And all is well. The only thing is, I've completely forgotten what I was talking about. Because now I'm in a whole new world. Oh, the sun's just going down over the mountain on the other side. Maybe, I don't know, 1,000 meters of mountain. Just 8 of them and you'd have Everest. Mental, isn't it? But yeah, the sun is bursting through the last bit of mountaintop on the other side of the valley and dousing me in the last rays as my cold beer goes down. I realise at this point you might hate me, and I completely don't blame you. Don't think this is my normal life, by the way.
Thank you.
Obrigado, thank you. Yes, yes. Good coffee, huh?
Oh, yeah.
¿Y dónde el planto?
Pastel, lamba, café.
Is it?
Es
el café.
Es
café.
Sandra points below to where daredevil farmers grow coffee on the side of the mountain. The coffee that I have in a plastic bag. The prize I came upon at the top of the mountain. As if I was living in an agricultural-themed video game.
Distant echo of chickens bouncing off the valley wall, and the occasional neigh of a pleasantly worked donkey. And the burp of a lost tourist up a mountain with a beer and a bag of coffee. Old men sitting around outside their house. Having worked on their plantations all day. Sitting back in the evening sun. Talking about whatever it is that the people talk about here. Really don't know. I assume it's how many bottles of grog did you trade this week? How's your sugar cane going? The coffee plantation this year isn't as good as it used to be. I don't know. And gossip. Did you hear about Shirley's kids stealing grog, little bastards? Life is anything but boring.
Tá bem fluida, tá dançando cha cha cha, tá dançando tinguiça, tanha curtim bem pagar. Tá bem fluida, tá dançando tcha tcha tcha, tá dançando tinguiça, tenha corpim bem pagar.
Another day and it's hiking again. There's not much else to do on Sant Antão, but don't let that seem like a negative thing. You could hike for weeks across Sant Antão and never get bored of the spectacular views and tiny little stone villages. Anyway, I passed through a tiny village, only accessible by foot, as so many are. It was on a steep stone path.
Tell you what gets me about Cape Verde. Here I am on a hike on a beautiful day through the sugarcane and banana plantations up a hill somewhere in the Pool Valley. And not to be confused with the Pool Valley, which is a place in England which is a bit different. Anyway, the Pool Valley is where I am, and I can hear a bar. There's two volumes in Cape Verde. It's off or bang the shit out of it. I think we can hear what this one is. Sounds kind of Brazilian.
Love it. It sounds like there's a massive party going on. It's just people outside the bar washing their hair in a bucket. One woman and someone else hanging up some laundry. Another girl playing with a phone. And a dude just looking out into the sugarcane fields. But the feet are tapping. Same volume at night sometimes, depending on their need for celebration. And a bit more dancing. A couple of nights ago, I found myself in a bar slash club. They're the same thing, really. Basically, bars just have some extremely large speakers and a makeshift dance floor. And, yeah, I was in there for... I was probably in there for about 5 minutes. It was Saturday night. I was on my own. And then in came two ladies. One with... And I don't want to sound crass, but I really cannot possibly tell you this story without mentioning that she had the biggest breasts in Africa. So big that it was quite problematic because she came over to me and put her hands out as if she wanted to dance and then pushed me into her bosom, at which point I realised that I was still a long way from her. Does that make sense? It was like there was two large pillows stopping me really embrace any form of dancing manoeuvres. And it's almost like she didn't know she had big boobs because she would then pull me in as if to say, well, come on then. But I was like, as far as I could possibly go to her. Also, it's worth mentioning that because women here are very often doing a lot of, and I don't mean this metaphorically, they do a lot of heavy lifting. So you quite often see the women working the sugarcane fields or, you know, hauling water from the valley up to the plantations in buckets. So they've got really, really manly, I suppose, hands. So hands like shovels, boobs like hot air balloons. And there I was. And believe me, she was leading that dance. But I can't lie, I enjoyed it. I just looked at my life and thought, well, here we are. Somewhere up the top of a hill in a locked embrace with a woman with preposterously large boobs. And here I am, having just had a grog, you know, sugarcane rum, thinking, I think I need another one. So there you are. I just thought I'd tell you that. I was just reminded by that lovely loud music. Now here I am, out in the middle of nowhere yet again, wandering along. And here's one of the previously mentioned lovely old ladies working the fields. What's that? Which way's the path? Eso or eso? Eso. Okay. Begara. Cheers, love. Hello and welcome to this part of the recording where I am driving along in a rented 4x4. Chronologically, you've just been sitting back doing your thing, listening to this, but I haven't made any recordings for a while because I've been quite ill. I'm just going to slow down for some cows on the road. Hang on. It's nice to see cows, but I'm just absolutely fascinated what the hell they're eating. See if we can get an audio slice. I'm actually looking right at a cow. Hi, how you doing? This isn't weird, is it? Just me and you stopped on a road looking at each other. You got anything to say? No. I don't know how you make a cow moo. Not like that. I do know how you make them move, though. Come on, mate. There's one kid right in front of me. Not a kid as in a goat, but as in a child cow. Why am I the only one here as well? Like, are you not stopping anyone else? Nothing? Alright, I'm moving. Okay. I mean, that made really bad audio, but trust me, there was five cows on the road. In the middle of nowhere. And it's volcanic island, as you know, because I keep saying, but... The green part of it I've just left behind. I'm going to drop this car off in Porto Novo, which is the... Oh, here's another... Oh, now I've got donkeys on the road. Oh, well, let's not even mention them because it's not great audio. And I could just be making it up. Oh, look, there's a crab on the road. There's an albatross. Oh, look at that. There's an aardvark. And there's a
badger. I'm going to drop this car off in Porto Novo, and this particular part of the island is the sort of arid bit, because it's away from the foresty bit. Put very simply, the reason one part of this island is green and most of the other bit of the island isn't, is the clouds come in across the Atlantic, they get stuck in a valley, they turn into rain because they can't get over the valley, and then they do you want a lift? Oh no, you're selling cheese. Okay, tell you what, this podcast is going to be hard work to listen to, because I thought this would be easy, just chatting to you while I was driving. So far I've been confronted by cows, donkeys and a cheese seller. I mean, where you get cows, I suppose you get cheese. Makes sense, doesn't it? Now, the reason that one bit of this island's green is because all the clouds get stuck and it turns into rainwater, or it sort of turns into, turns into water. And then it trickles down. All the tributaries are now to sea once again. And in so doing, you can harness all that water and make a lovely green valley. And I cannot tell you how utterly spectacular the Paul Valley is. So I really hope that some people listen to these podcasts and think, I'm only listening because one day I'd like to go somewhere really different. Come here. It's fucking mental. It's really great. It's quite expensive to get here, but once you're here, it's so cheap and it's so weird. I just love it. So come here to Sant Anton in Cape Verde. Anywho, the reason I'm making this little update is I wanted to tell you that I haven't made an update recently because I have been ill. I mean, the food here is absolutely appalling, and that's being kind. You know, if you ever meet anyone that's travelled a lot and says, oh, the food in Cape Verde is great, they're lying. It's shit here. It can't all be good, can it? So, as a result, I knew it was coming, I just didn't know when. I don't know if it's food poisoning or what, but oh my god. You don't need the details, but let's just say, even now in this car, I've got a toilet roll, okay? Because I'm still haven't quite got the confidence I used to have. Oh god. Anyway, it was awful, right? And I just got this, mate. This is such a cool car, like it's 4x4, and for these crazy roads, it's just perfect. So, drove all the way to a place called Tarrafel, which is, if you want to do some research, it's a spectacular part of this island, and it's completely on the other side than the Paul Valley. And Tarrafel only had the road completed in February 2021, so like, it's just finished. And it's amazing there's a road there at all, because there's only a few hundred people that live over on that side of the island, and there's not much going on, but I guess they somehow decided to build a road. So I took this car to Tarrafel, and it was in Tarrafel that I fell really quite ill, which is also one of the worst places you can be ill in Cape Verde, because, you know, if you're really ill there, well, good luck. It's a good hour and a half drive to the nearest proper town, Porto Novo. And I presume, I don't know this, but I assume Porto Novo has a hospital or something. So yeah, it was just basically a case of sit it out, wait, and be there. Which is, in some ways, it was an awful place to be because it was nowhere near anywhere else. But in other ways, it was quite a good place to be because, you know, just chill out, don't do anything. The hotel was kind of all right, or guest house was all right. And so I just slept. I just slept. It was a bed, and I just slept. I do get a bit pissed off with cockerels. They must be immune. The noise that a cockerel can make, the sheer decibels they can reach, is incredible. So even in my deepest, very, very ill slumber, when all my body wanted to do was do nothing and sleep, I would fall asleep, and at 4 or 5 in the morning, the cockerels will start, and they're so fucking loud. It is brain-shatteringly loud. Admittedly, they're right outside my window, and like, you can't be that white guy that complains, because like, it's someone's backyard, and they're locals are their life. Like, that's the way life goes. You go, like, I can't complain about it, but it is when you're really ill and there's only one guest house and you're in it and you can't move, and every morning you get woken up for hours and hours, really the whole day they go off. It's just a bit awkward, really. So it was a pretty grim time, and I didn't make use of this car because I couldn't drive anywhere. So it was, yeah, it was an interesting experience, and not particularly a good one. But you know, it can't all be good. It's, you've got to get some grim here and there. So yeah, Tarrafel itself is this beautiful little town with the only calm beach, as far as I know, on this entire island. In fact, it might even be the only beach on this island that's accessible. And it's a black sand beach. And it's one of those places that, you know, when you go somewhere and you think, oh God, these days are numbered, you know? They've just built the road there. And you just know that someone's going to build a giant hotel there in the next few years. You can just see the first villas going up. And in the middle of it all, a couple of hundred people, just like two restaurants. There's a lot of dodgy fish, and you will almost definitely get some food poisoning at some point if you come here. But that's part of going to most developing countries. Slot it into your timetable. And it's another reason not to come for like a week. Because if you get it in that week, what a fucking waste of time, you know? If you can, come to any... If you go to a developing country, try and go for a month and allow for the fact that 4 days of it, you will be in bed. And then that way you're golden. And if you don't, you've done well. I made some podcasts from India. Have you heard them? They're available roughly the same place you got this. And I was in India for a month, didn't get food poisoning. Couldn't believe it. India, Delhi belly, and I didn't get food poisoning. So sometimes you get lucky, but generally speaking, if you come to the developing world, you can try and not eat the bloody local produce that's been washed in the local water, but you're just gonna have a crap life, and frankly you're never gonna get away with it. And you can say, well, I just won't eat in restaurants then. Is that living, you know? Actually, having said that, we probably shouldn't eat in the restaurants here. They are so few and far between to find anything worth eating that would actually discourage you from doing it. But still, even when you're eating crap food in a restaurant, you still get a different vibe, and it's nice to have a few drinks and stuff. In an ultimate world, get a nice Airbnb, cook in your own kitchen, lots of vegetables to keep you going. Go out to the restaurants for small snacks, drink wine and drink beer and take in the local shenanigans. All right, so there you go. I'm nearly at Porto Novo now, and I've got to give this car back. And then I'm just going to go and hang out in my favourite place. You can't beat it. I've just found nowhere better than the Pool Valley. I know I keep going on about it, and a lot of this podcast has been from there, but I am included everything in these audio recordings. I've been back and forth to the other island. I've hung out in Mindelo quite a lot. And I've also been in a few little towns over on the other islands and blah, blah, blah. But really, the best place you can be is the Pool Valley. It is heaven on earth. And so once I drop this car off, I'm just going to dump it because I don't need it for a while. And I'm going to go and get a sort of minibus back to the Pool Valley, and I'll hang out there for a bit. And I'm starting to count down the days. I'm going to have to book a flight out of here. Live here forever. So slowly but surely the end is nigh, and despite just getting over some fairly chronic food poisoning and having lost many pounds, and I look gaunt and skinny and a bit frail and weak and pathetic, I still feel like this is just an amazing part of the world, and I'm very, very, very lucky to be here. And sometimes travelling is hard. Sometimes food is shite, and sometimes it gives you food poisoning. But, you know, when you're driving along and you get the breathtaking views that you often get here, it's worth it. And another thing that I've been doing, I haven't done it in the last hour, but what I have been doing is just picking up local people as well. Anyone by the side of the road that's walking probably wants a lift. Don't be one of those guys that drives an SUV with just you in it. Offer people lifts. And, oh, there goes the cobbles. So anyway, let me just slow down a little bit. There's no one behind me. You probably didn't hear much of that. Anyway, yeah, let's finish up this part of the podcast. I love this place. Good catching you up. I'll speak to you again soon.
In the last episode, I brought you
Late Night Bark News. You're listening to Late Night Bark News with me, Vinnie White, and what sounds like 2,000 dogs. It's probably only 20.
Kept up by barking dogs, I have since moved to a new house further up the valley. Time for a late night update. Let's listen.
Bark News. It's time for more late night bark news. And it is 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's time to go outside to the terrace and investigate. Tonight, how loud are the dog barks? And I can tell you already that Bark News has turned into Rubbit News. I am now in the heart of the Paul Valley, and although there are occasional barks of dogs, this place is frog-tastic. There must be, and I'm not very good at counting frogs from noises. I don't know anyone that is. I bet someone is. I bet you someone's really good at, like, getting out a decibelometer, putting it next to a river, and counting frogs from that. But there must be. I mean, come on. There's 1,000 frogs. And one dog. So the frog to dog ratio is very much in favour with my ears. I'm a bit tired, so forgive me for talking slightly more shit than usual, but yeah, the most peaceful place, the most heavenly place yet again is the Paul Valley, which has sort of won every single component of what's best about Cape Verde. Unlike many of the other towns, if you're wanting to get to sleep and it's the middle of the night here, the frogs won't keep you awake, they'll just keep you smiling. Rubbit News. That was the sound a frog makes, rubbit. I'm not sure that's going to win me any awards for the best audio content I've ever produced, but nonetheless, it's nice to get an insight into the world of the Paul Valley at 1 o'clock in the morning and the sound of, actually, let's be honest, tens of thousands of frogs rubbiting. Rubbiting? I think that's right. Croaking. Ah, yes, there's that too. It's more of a rubbit than a croak. We're back to animal noises. We've come full circle. We were talking about that in episode one of this Cape Verde podcast. Let's move on, sharpish. Hey, I'm in Lisbon in Portugal, and the African adventure is behind me. Had to run around in the last couple of days in Mindelo, the second biggest city in Cape Verde. And obviously I had to do some paperwork and get a COVID test and all that kind of stuff. So unfortunately I didn't have any time to do any recording, but I did get out successfully and have now landed, 400 pounds later? Like a lot of money later. Very hard to get a cheap flight out of there. Well, no, it wasn't hard to get a cheap flight out of there. It was fucking impossible to get a cheap flight out of there. It was hard enough to get a flight out of there, full stop. At one point I was thinking about getting a boat, and I'm not even kidding. I was thinking that could be quite a nice way out. Also, quite a good twist in the podcast. But nonetheless, call me boring, I got a plane and landed back here in Europe. The weather is actually extremely similar to what I just left behind in Africa. It's gorgeous in Lisbon, and I'm wearing shorts and t-shirt yet again. So I feel very smug for having missed a good chunk of winter. Now,
Mindelo the last couple of days, where I was hanging out, was quite an adventure, actually. I'll leave you with this story as a sort of wrap up of the Cape Verde podcast part one and two, and as we go into the last moments of these recordings, I just want to say thanks very much for listening, and I hope you've learned a lot about Cape Verde, and hopefully you've enjoyed the adventure along with me. My final adventure was in Mindelo, where I decided to try and avoid getting food poisoning again. The best thing to do. Now, not to say that all the restaurants are bad, but let's be honest, I have already gone into this. A lot of them are pretty ropey on Cape Verde. So I thought it would be a good idea to make myself a fish pie. The fish pie, I also wanted some breakfast stuff. So I went to market and asked for bread. And I thought bread was pan. It turns out it's pom. I still don't know how to say it. But either way, I asked for bread numerous times until a man came up and said, "How can I help you?" Sort of an African fixer guy that wanted to help me out. And I said, I want some bread. He said, what on earth is bread? I'm like, well, it's sort of, you know, it's quite a staple around the world. This language is not helping. This is, okay, you know, it's like breakfast, like toast. And he goes, "Oh, toast, no problem. Come with me." And so he took me down another road and a smaller road. And then he took me quite a way away from the main market area, where I'm pretty sure I could have found bread, and down another side road. And then I thought, hang on a minute, I'm going to be mugged, because this all feels terribly wrong. And then he took me down another side road, and I said, "You know what, mate, don't worry about it, I think this is fine." And he said, "No, here you go, this is exactly what you need," and pointed to a shop that sold nothing but toasters. Yes, a toaster shop. Yes, well, so close, and thank you so much for trying to help. So I bunged him a couple of euro and made my way back to the market, and it turns out, yeah, bread is actually pom. I think I've got that wrong again, because isn't that French for apple? Oh, it's so confusing, this whole language thing. Oh, dear. Classic Brit, just expects everyone to understand me. Anyway, that got me back into the market, so I was like, right, okay, let's get my fish for my fish pie. Now, it's pretty much the end of the day in the market, and if you could sort of imagine the scene, there's lots of large ladies sat on very small stools wearing extremely colourful clothing with their heads wrapped up in the local African garb, and just the most sort of beautiful shock of colour everywhere you look, and the streets are bustling, and there's noise, and like a really wonderful, energetic African market. And one of the women sat on her little seat, was offering fish, and so I was like, "Oh, go on then, I'll have one of those." And she said, "Just one?" And I said, "Yes." And she goes, "Well, okay, that's €2. And I thought, well, slightly more than I expected for one fish. She gave me four giant fish for that. I think she was trying to get rid of them. So I had four massive fish. And I'm talking about the size of a lower leg per fish. Okay, like obscenely massive, way bigger than I could possibly make a fish pie out of. So I was like, well, I really don't need these, but I've already had this debacle with the bread, so okay, I'll just take them. And that was that, and all was going rather well, until I was wandering down the road thinking, what the fucking hell am I going to do with four giant fish? I'm flying out tomorrow, for God's sake. I don't need these. Plus, they're going to honk up my place pretty bad and get me a very questionable Airbnb review. So, time to get rid of the fish. And so, a man came over and said that he could use some change. He was in a wheelchair, and I thought, let's give him a fish. So I whacked a fish out. He was well chuffed with that. Then I went for a glass of wine on my way home and sat outside a bar. An old man came up and said, would he like to shine my shoes? And I was like, well, not really, mate, because I've got trainers on. You can't really buff a trainer unless you varnish it. And that is one step too far. So thanks very much, but no. To which point he said, well, you've got a bit unpeeled there of your soul. Why don't I stick that back in? And he, out of nowhere, popped out a pot of glue and then painted the part of my shoe that had peeled up and then stuck it back down, to which I gave him a euro and he said, oh, he would like some more money. And I said, can't do that, but guess what? Yes, you know the score, big man. Here's a tuna, and whopped out another fish. He was over the moon with that. Then on the way home, and this is like, I don't know, just it felt like a glimpse into yesteryear where you can barter your way out of any problems. Then I wanted to pick up a beer, and the street seller was quite happy to take a fish for a beer. Fantastic. So I managed to give one to a disabled man, one for the shoe shining man, and one on the way home to someone for a super bock beer. Lovely stuff. And then I went home and cooked the last one up and turned it into a fish pie. Turns out you don't need that much fish for a fish pie. Okay? Didn't know that. Did not know that. So way too much fish, like explosive amounts of fish flavour in this pie, and very little anything else. Essentially, it was just a fish covered with a bit of potato and what used to be vegetables that had all permeated and disappeared. Not going to get me any awards whatsoever, but my last taste was some home-cooked food. Questionable though it was, I made a fish pie and lived to tell the tale and made three people happy on the way home. And that, weird though it is really how I'd like to leave this. Because if there's one thing that I love about Cape Verde, other than the Paul Valley, which I've gone on and on and on about as one of the most spectacular things I've ever seen, it's the people. They are wonderful, always happy, always smiling, incredibly safe, really comforting, so friendly, and just fantastic. And it felt really good in my last moments of fishy altruism to say goodbye with that. So if you find yourself in Cape Verde, get in there, get amongst it, go to the markets, hang out in the Paul Valley, make sure you go hiking and talk to the people as much as you can in your pathetic attempt at Creole and Portuguese like myself, because you're going to have so much of a better time. And they really are the warmest, nicest, most wonderful people. And so it was. Cape Verde was an absolute blast. And thank you so much to the people of Cabo Verde for being the warm, wonderful selves. And as my absolutely abhorrent attempt at being Jesus in the last coming moments proved, that there is always fun to be had. And set yourself some stupid goals, like picking up fish in the market and making a fish pie. And as Douglas Adams said, so long and thanks for all the fish, because I think it's time now to embrace a bit more Portugal before returning back to whatever the hell normal life now looks like. Something that I don't know if I'm actually looking forward to. Something wonderful about being on the run. Thanks so much for listening to these podcasts from Cape Verde. I'm not sure where the next ones will be from, but I'll keep you updated and look out for some more. Hey, get in touch. Drop us a line. Let me know if I've missed anything, if there's anything you'd like me to add in future episodes, or you can just give me compliments if you so feel the need. Take care. Big love. Ta-da.